Okay. Psalm 92. Father, we just thank you that as we're opening your word, that your word is beneficial. And it accomplishes that for which it was sent. So we thank you that today, this word will accomplish that for which you have provided it. And we honor you and bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. It almost sounds like a song, doesn't it? I think it is. Old charismatic song. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. God is good. God is good. Amen? Huh?
That's all I know.
Yeah, would you know that? God is good. Now, here, it's a good thing. Everybody can agree, it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Amen? I mean, that's what he just said. Number one, if he said it, you should do it. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. But if God is good, what's the source of that thanks? Even the source of your ability to give thanks. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. So therefore, that good is of God. So anything that's even coming out of you is from Him. The fact that you are even able to give thanks to Him. No man can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Ghost. So thankfully, God, you can be confident that God is in you of a truth if you're giving thanks to Him. Amen? So these are real powerful truths. You have to listen. Because number one, I'll tell you, you have to slow down sometimes when you're reading the Word, you know, you're trying to get through your Bible reading. Anybody ever notice that? You're trying to get through the thing. And what you want to do is slow down. You don't have to make it through the whole chapter today. You might slow down. You might read verse 1 and get stuck like me and Pastor Jim do. We just get stuck, you know. And so, brother, aren't you going to keep going? Well, we might not. Might just camp here like we did, you know, when we first read it. It's okay to camp on one. Amen? It's okay. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. So what I'm dwelling on the fact that the goodness of God leads to repentance. The goodness of God leads to thanksgiving. It's His relationship with you. It's His relationship with you. He is for you. He is desirous of you to have you, not for you to do something, but to have relationship with you. Everything else is subsequent. Everything He did was so He could have fellowship with you. And then you tell someone else and someone else enjoys that. Amen? Someone else enjoys that. So what I want you to do to begin is to don't look for what God wants you to do. That is way out. Sometimes that's kind of way out beyond you. You know, okay, what do you want me to do? I want you to sit here and enjoy me. Yeah, but what do you want me to do? See, I'm uncomfortable with that. I'm a doer. Well, good, do that. Just enjoy my presence, you know, if you're a doer. So, because I decide what you do. If you're a boss, your employees don't decide what they're going to do. You tell them what they're going to do. Now, you get off of that and don't do that. You come over here and do this. Well, right now, God's telling, He's going to tell you, I want you to listen to me. I want you to rest. I want you to worship me. I want you to praise me. I don't want you to go out and please me. This pleases me. Worship, praise, thanksgiving. This pleases Him. Faith pleases God. Faith pleases God. And so He says, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. To show forth your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every day, every night. So you're showing forth in your thanksgiving. You are showing forth His praises. You are causing His praises to be not only received by Him, but you're also causing others to see. Now your praise may not be praise the Lord. Your praise may be how you respond to what's happening with your mom. Your praise may be what's happening in your response to what's happening with people who you work with. Maybe what's happening with your family. Yeah, there are a lot of things that go on and a lot of troubles that happen in everyday life. But what's happening in you is what God is teaching. God is showing you how to respond to trouble. Amen? He's showing you how to respond to trouble, which is to rejoice, to give thanks. Because trouble, all it does is this: it shows up sin, doesn't it? It shows up how I don't trust Him. It shows up how I don't trust what He said. I've taken care of everything. I said I'd meet all of your needs. I'll take care of everything that concerns you. Amen? I'll take care of everything that concerns you. And then what he's doing then all of a sudden is that when trouble comes, we go off and try to make sure we handle it, make sure it gets handled, so we can get back to praising God. Amen? Let's get this trouble fixed up so I can get back to praising God. I seem to be in a lot of turmoil. I seem to be stirred up. I think I need to get this problem resolved so that I can praise God again. Uh-uh. No, He's not interested in that. He's not interested in you solving your problem. He's interested in you saying, "Thank you, Father, right now. Right now in the middle of my funk, in the middle of my trouble, in the middle of my..." And when I'm feeling blue, when I'm feeling bad, when I'm feeling disturbed, when my feelings are overwhelming, and to say, "Father, I love you." Now, granted, I don't understand what it is to have a feeling come in and just knock you to the ground. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, they do that, don't they? They come in there. Here's one big circumstance that you weren't expecting. I mean, it is a sucker punch. Yeah, I mean, it's all of a sudden you're on the ground. But you're taking that word, and before the sucker punch, you are daily thanking Him and praising Him. Not just ignoring this thing, not just tootling along in the back of your mind thinking, you know, God's good, but to actively be worshiping and praising and thanking Him. You're building yourself up on your most holy faith. You're praying in the Holy Ghost. Worshiping the Lord is to constantly be worshiping the Lord. It's like exercising, you know. And we could all use a little bit of that. Praise the Lord. And because you're building yourself up. You're building yourself up. Now, you're preparing for battle. A good soldier prepares himself for battle. You're preparing yourself. But in the preparation, you're preparing yourself through the problems. Amen? You're having the relationship. The preparation is having the relationship with the Lord because you know that He is with you constantly. And there is nothing that shall by any means hurt you. There is nothing that shall by any means hurt you. So you're going to show forth His loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. Upon an instrument of 10 strings. I guess we had 10 strings altogether, at least up here, you know, combined. An instrument of 10 strings. And upon the psaltery and the harp, with a solemn sound. With a solemn sound. A sound of... That's a trust. A solemn sound. I trust Him. I'm trusting Him. There's nothing. There's nothing that shall by any means hurt me. Verse 4 says, "For You, O Lord, have made me glad through Your work." I'm glad. Are you glad? Mm-hmm. Say amen. Say another thing I want to tell you about is don't check. quit checking. Quit taking your temperature. Yeah. Are you glad? Yes. Yes. Hallelujah. Okay, I'm gonna ask you a question. Are you here today?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Are you glad?
Yes.
Yes. Amen. That's good. Yeah, because see, you're learning how to answer. You're learning how to answer. You're learning how to give an answer to them that ask. How you doing today? Well, I got this thing over here, and other than that, you know, I got five other things. You want to hear about them? Huh? I'm doing glorious. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I'm blessed beyond measure. Hallelujah. That's your testimony. I mean, yeah, that's what people see. What people see is, unless next minute, then you just swear at them or something, you know. So you say, well, praise the Lord. You know, God loves me. Amen. Anybody ever done that? You just were an example to Jesus, and all of a sudden, the next thing, you get that sucker punch, and you respond. And then, you know, so you just repent. You know, brother, that was wicked of me. You know, don't hide it. Just be free, all right? Don't be bound up by bad behavior. Don't be bound up by your own bad behavior. You know what? Guilt is one of the greatest. Guilt's one of the greatest tools of the enemy.
Yeah.
It's really a great one because he can tie you up. It's like rope. He can tie you up and throw you in a closet for years with guilt and condemnation. And Jesus has set you free. He has set you free, but you're over there, you know, can't get out, bound up, all upset, because you're guilty, because you messed up. Well, what'd you expect? You know, you did mess up. If you messed up right now, say, Father, thank you. Go ahead and say it. Father, thank you that guilt doesn't have me. Jesus has me. I'm not guilty anymore. Because Jesus paid my price. And I'm free. And he's using me. Isn't that cool? Okay, see? That's all it is. See, I just saved you now. I just got you out of 20 years of prison right now. If you'll just walk out. Just walk out. You know, some of you are going to stay in there. Would you shut that door, please? Some of you feel, you feel like you're naked if you're not with having some kind of guilt on. You don't want to come out of there. You know, you feel like somebody's going to shoot you or stick you or grab you or something when you're not walking around with guilt. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You feel bad not feeling bad. You feel bad not feeling guilty. Like somebody took all your clothes off, you know. And so, no, God wants you free. And he set you free. He's already done it. He just wants you to say amen. Isn't that cool? Amen. Listen, if you'll just be happy and just rejoice and thank God for his freedom. Amen. See, people don't even believe that in the United States. You know, they just go hole up in their hole and they get mad at everybody about because somebody isn't doing something. You know, well, guess who else isn't doing anything? You. You're sitting there in your closet complaining, watching Oprah or American Idol or whatever it is, you know, or something good like the History Channel. My golly. You know, the History Channel. I'm watching the History Channel. I'm not watching that junk. I'm watching the History Channel. I'm watching Fox News. Boy, am I mad. Amen. Anybody ever got mad watching the news? Oh, it ain't the news. It's just somebody's opinion. Praise the Lord. For you, O Lord, have made me glad. So I'm glad. So I'm free. Number one, I'm free from all of my fears. Because he hadn't given me a spirit of fear. So if you got a spirit of fear, who gave it to you?
Devil.
And who took it? Who received it and said, thank you very much, put it in your pocket. Carry it around with you. You know? No, I understand. I do understand. Like I said, you know, these things that come around and it's like you get hit with that, you know, don't title this sucker punch, Jack. See, somebody pick a couple of words out of a title and you're out of a thing, they'll title it for you. But you know, you'll get hit by some circumstance, and the issue is begin to get up and thank God. You know, thank God. Don't just crater. Don't allow that to crater. And I'm not saying that. Listen, I want to tell you something else about this. That's not a good work. That's not a good work that God's expecting you to do. That is just faith operative in love. Faith in love is, Father, thank you that though these things come, they don't rule me. Job had that. Amen? He trusted God and bam, you know, the kids, bam, the house, you know. Then bam, your wife, you know. Curse God and die. I just lost my house, just lost my kids, then my wife's on me, on my case. Or maybe you could flip around, your husband could be on your case, I guess. And all of these things, they just seem to come. Maybe they come in waves. Maybe they come all at once. But just, I want you to get in the practice and the habit. Now, it's just like, I can't do that. It is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord, which is, it came from God. So your thanksgiving and your declaration of God's Word came from Him. Don't say, well, I can't. Well, yeah, of course you can't. But He is in you to both will and to do. Climb the wall and go over. He is in me both to will it and to do it. He said, give praise to me. I don't feel that it's there. Honesty says, hey, I don't feel like it's there. I don't feel like I've got it. But, like Phil's talking about the Word, see, the Word says, well, here it says, you got it. He did it. So just step out of that prison you're in. Step out of that prison. Amen? Just step out of it. I don't care how naked you feel, how unable you feel. Step out of that thing and rejoice in it. And that's what we. I mean, you know, I don't know. Maybe I say it a little different to Pastor Jim, but we both say the same thing. We both say the same thing. It's not your work. It's God's work. It's God's product. He produces it in you. All He says to you is, just say what I say. Say what I say. Agree with what I agree. Agree with what I'm saying to you. So you'll be out of that prison. And you'll begin to be joyful more often. Has anybody done this? Good. It works. Oh, man, she was a mess. I'm telling you what, she was under so much bondage. It's cool.
I was, but I learned how to praise God in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Praise God. She learned how to praise God in the middle. And she is is that true?
Oh, my God.
Amen. That's her daughter. And, yeah. So, hallelujah. Who else? Anybody else learn that?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Good. Thank you, Jesus. That's so powerful. So powerful. You begin to walk like that. And I find one of these people and say, how'd you do that? And they'll just tell you, I just did it. You know, and you'll go, yeah, but I want to write it down. You know what I mean? You want somebody to write it down. You know what? If somebody wrote it down and took you home with them for a month, you wouldn't be able to do it. Because it's just you and Jesus. It's just you and the Father. Amen? Listen, it's got to be you and the Father. He is so good. And He's doing this in you and through you as you will walk. And just walk in it. Just walk in it. You know. And just... That's true, though. You know, I'm not saying don't talk to somebody. It's the thing is, you're not going to get it. I mean, we've been preaching this for years. You know, we got people who are still sitting there going, could you explain that again? You know, because they think they're going to get it by thinking about it. But you get it through living. You get it through living. Amen? Every day. And you begin, and you're just thanking Him every day in the middle of trouble. If you'll do that, you're going to see a major difference in 2012. I want you to come to me at the end of the year and say, Pastor, it changed my life. Praising Him in everything giving thanks. As over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it says, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything. Everything? Yeah. When your kids are going haywire, when your marriage is going haywire, don't worry about how you're going to get out of a problem, even though I know there's doctors and I know there's this and that. First, give thanks and praise to God for His blessing, for His mercy, for His faithfulness, for his loving kindness, to show forth your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. He's done great and mighty things. He bore your sin to Calvary and he took it upon himself and he died and he rose again and you are risen with him. Did you know that you're risen with him?
Yes.
Now? Not at the last trump? I'm risen with him now. See, that's why I know these things are true. Is I'm risen with him right now. And I'm believing him right now because I believe I'm in heaven right now. You're not in heaven. You're standing right there. No. From my heart, I'm in heaven because I'm seated together with him. Where? I'm seated together with him. He's seated by his Father and I'm seated with him. And I'm seated together in heavenly places with him. He is in me. Both the will and to do of his good pleasure. He's producing in me his pleasure. And then typically what will happen is we'll get confused and we'll look in the mirror and we'll see that we happen to still have this here. And we're looking at it and it doesn't seem to be behaving quite right. It doesn't seem to be producing quite right. And we're all disappointed because we're looking at our flesh. And you put confidence in the flesh. And Romans chapter 8 says, well, first of all, I'll say that if you're living in the flesh, you're under condemnation still, already. If you're living in the flesh, if you're living with confidence or hope in the flesh. Because the Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says, therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation to those of us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So the no condemnation is for those who walk according to the Spirit. It doesn't mean you're walking holy. What it means is you're not walking with any confidence in the flesh. There's no condemnation to those who walk not after the flesh. I know it's kind of sideways. But see, if you're walking with confidence in your ability to please God and to produce a goodness in yourself, or that you're going to somehow break forth and finally do the right thing, you have to understand, in having no confidence in the flesh also means not having any disappointment when the flesh disappoints. I'll say that again. Not being disappointed when the flesh, your flesh disappoints you. How many of us have had that? My flesh disappointed me again. I'm just so disappointed. Well, I think you put your hope in the wrong thing. Because he already said in chapter 7 that what he's just almost crying, is that his flesh, what I do want to do, I can't do, and what I don't want to do, that's what I'm doing. Who's going to help me? I thank my God through my Lord Jesus Christ, realizing that with my flesh, my flesh just serves the flesh. It does. But what's happening is he's shifting me over to where I'm less and less serving the flesh. The flesh doesn't rule me. My flesh doesn't rule me. It's like an untrained puppy. And it makes messes all over the place. Amen? You ever notice that? Your flesh just makes a mess wherever it goes. But you just begin to thank God and praise him, and that puppy becomes less and less relevant. And your spirit and your walk with God becomes more and more powerful. Because you're thanking him even in the midst of trouble. Even in the midst of trouble, you're thanking him and praising him. Amen? So, when he said, for you, O Lord, have made me glad through your work. So, what's he done? This is David talking, by the way. This is pre Calvary. And David is looking forward because of the promise of God. He knows a little bit, in a measure. How much more? We have a better covenant based on better promises. The one covenant was to bring you to the new covenant. And he says, you have made me glad by your work. So I am glad. I am. I have a gladness which causes me to walk in thanksgiving and praise. Amen? Say, I do too. Can't hear you.
I do too.
Okay. All right. So you got to take that home with you. I do too. I got that. Yeah, I got that. For you have made me glad. Through your work, I will triumph in the works of your hands. Now, that word triumph, I will, two meanings there. I will be victorious in the work of your hands. But also the word triumph can also mean I will rejoice in the work of your hands. Amen? I will rejoice in the work of your hands. That is, the work of his hands has been provided and it's been finished. And that work of his hands, now I'm going to rejoice in the finished work. Amen? So, when you look at yourself going by and you know, you're kind of checking, see how you're doing. I always liken it to when you used to go past the stores, you know, and they had the big plate glass windows, and you're walking by them, and you can kind of check yourself out and see how you look today. Some of you are all depressed, you know, when you do that. And so you do, but God said, don't look at that. Don't be checking how you're doing today. Don't examine your progress. Amen? Just keep your eyes on Him. I'm just going to keep my eyes on Him. I'm not going to keep my eyes on my husband's progress or my wife's progress. And that's a hard one because I see hers every day. And I want to keep my eyes on her progress or our kids. You know, keep an eye on this girl and make sure she's doing okay. Let her go. Praise the Lord. Learned that one, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, praise God.
Twice.
Twice. Okay. Twice just for her or the other one? Oh, yeah. Oh, God's good, isn't He? Are you getting anything out of this? I am. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, how great are Your works. Your thoughts are very deep. How many know His thoughts are higher than your thoughts? His work, everything He does is higher than yours. Amen. So you can't get to the bottom. And number one, another thing, you can't get to the bottom of what's going on. You're not going to get to the bottom of trouble. Okay? You're not going to get to the bottom of it. You're not going to get to the bottom of it. Stop it. You know? Yeah, okay? You want to say that again? You're not going to get to the bottom of trouble. Amen? First of all, trouble's always going to be around. In the world, Jesus promised. He gave you a promise. In the world, you have tribulation. That's like a three-pronged pitchfork. They would tribulate the wheat. And you know what happened when they tribulate the wheat? They throw it up in the air. The wind grabs the chaff and throws it away. And what falls to the ground useful is the wheat, the good nut. Okay? And the chaff just gets blown away. But you're tribulating that wheat. You're tribulating that wheat. Well, guess what? You're getting tribulated. Getting rid of all the chaff. I mean, if you looked at Psalm 1, it says let's look at it. He says the wicked are like the chaff that the wind drives away. That's the wicked part of you. That's the part of you that God's getting rid of. See, through tribulation, all it does is get rid of trash. Takes out the trash. God just takes out the trash. Isn't that right, Jack?
Right.
He just takes out the trash. I mean, you thought you were going to get by with your closet full of garbage. He just cleaned out the closet. Psalm 1. Happy is the man. Here's the happy man. He walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor does he stand in the way of in the path of the sinners, walk in the same direction with them. Nor does he sit in the seat of the scornful. Okay, but happy is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate both day and night, and he shall be. Here's how he's going to show up. Like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth fruit in season. Its leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. That's the man who walks not in those other ways, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. That's Psalm numero uno. I mean, if you didn't have any other Psalms, that'd probably be good enough. The ungodly are not so, are not like that, but they are like the chaff that the wind drives away. So when Jesus says, in the world you have tribulation, then He says another thing. He says, cheer up. Cheer up. I've overcome the world. Cheer up. So in the middle, so I mean, there you have it from the mouth of Jesus. If you're in trouble today, I want you to do something. Cheer up. I've overcome the world. In the world. So you've got to make a separation, see. I'll see if that's any good. That'll help me a lot. Yeah, that'll help me. Okay? In the world you have trouble, but you're not in the world. You're in this. You're right here. In the world is out here. Or out here. Could be in a harlot church or could be out in the world. But you're here. You're here. You're in Christ, in the bridal church. You are living right there. You are in there. Amen? So tell Pastor Jim what you learned today. I'm in that bridal church, in Christ Jesus, from the heart. Now I've got this outward. But God is dealing with that. And He's saying, you know, be of good cheer because you're in here and there's nothing going to happen to me in here. There's nothing going to happen to me in here. I'm already in heaven. I'm already free. I'm joyous. Yeah, but my flesh is getting pinched and beat up and hurt and all that kind of thing. It's not a problem because, I mean, this thing's passing away. The flesh is passing away, isn't it? It's not going to last that long. It's only going to last 70, 80 years, except for that lady who is last surviving lady from World War I. Where was she living in England? 114. Somebody said somebody made it to 127 once recently. I mean, recently, you know. I don't know who that was. But you had to be loving Jesus. Amen. If you're going to make it that long, you got to have Jesus. There's no reason to stay. Amen. I mean, you outlived all your friends and your kids. And your grandkids. And some of your grandkids. Can you imagine that? I mean, full life. Your grandkids lived a full life and you still outlived them. That's amazing. You got to have a Jesus. You got to have a Jesus. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So how great are your works? His thoughts are very deep. That is, His thoughts are of heaven, and His thoughts do not pertain in the sense to earth in the sense that He's going to make a big deal out of it. All this is training ground. It's just boot camp. Praise the Lord. It's just boot camp, you know, for heaven. That is, in the sense that you're getting ready to live in heaven. You're having a relationship with Him. You're having a relationship with Him. A brutish man, that's stupid. A stupid man, or senseless man, knows not, neither does a fool understand this. So you got people who just don't understand this. I mean, you do as much as you can to give them the gospel. You can't make anybody believe, but you still deliver it, because that's your job, is deliver the good news. How do you deliver the good news? By giving thanks and singing praises to His name, no matter where you are, no matter what circumstance you're in, is to always be in His presence, glorifying God. When the wicked spring forth as grass, verse 7, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. In other words, there's the purpose of it. There's the end of it. You know, wow, the wicked seem to be really making it. They're doing a good job. They're making more money than ever before. I think they're going to win. Now read the end of that. He says, when they spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. It is to the end, or that results in their destruction. God's not into destroying the wicked personally, but their agenda and their plan and their thought. What's the wicked? Who is the wicked? What is the wicked? It's me, apart from Jesus. It's just me living my own way. It's me eating of the tree, isn't it? See, God said in the garden, He said, there's one tree you don't eat of, and that one in the middle of the garden. It's the one that's the easiest to get to. You're going to be passing by it every day, and it looks really good, and it looks like it's really a good idea, because God certainly would like it if you'd take some responsibility and know what you're doing. study it out, and make a good decision. It's called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Come on, buddy. Make a good decision. I can't. God said from the very beginning, listen to me. Listen to me. He never told you to go out and make your own decision. He said, listen to me. If you listen to me, you'll be blessed. You'll listen to me, you'll walk in the fullness of my creation. But if you go off and try to make it on your own, you just fail. In fact, you'll die. In fact, you'll be in rebellion against me. Because His joy was to give you everything. But the enemy wants to come in and destroy that which God gave and say, hey, you know what? If you'll just do this, you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. Well, that sounds like a good idea. I think I ought to know good and evil. But shouldn't I know the difference between good and evil? Apparently not. It's not a good idea for you. You're not built for it, apparently. You're not built to distinguish between good and evil very well. You're built to have fellowship with your Father in heaven and to walk with Him and to worship Him. That's what you're built for. You're not built to make it on your own. Well, that just doesn't sound right. Sounds like a man or a woman ought to be able to make it in this world. It's not what God's the guy who created the thing. He's the guy who created the thing. He's the guy that set it up. And He said that wasn't His plan. His plan was for you to have fellowship with Him and to not have your own way. His plan was not for to wind this place up and we'll see what happens. You ever done that with some of these toys? You wind them up, see what happens. They fall off, run off the end of the table. You know, you just can't do it. You're gonna have to trust God because He loves you, Kathy. And it's just crazy, you know. But He loves you, and somehow in the world. Somehow God's going to see you through and you don't know how. Listen to me. Somehow God's going to see you through whatever that is today that you got in your brain and you don't know how. The seed groweth up, you know not how. I don't see how. Just keep worshiping God. Just keep thanking Him. Just keep walking with Him. This is so much fun. Look here. Now He talked about how the wicked were going to be flourishing, but it's for their destruction. Verse 8 says, but You, O Lord, are most high forevermore. For lo, Your enemies, O Lord, for lo, Your enemies shall perish. It's kind of like hide and watch. It is true. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. Remember the Tower of Babel? Scattered. But My horn, verse 10, but My horn shall you exalt like the horn of a unicorn. Now, unicorn is not a pink horse with a horn on it. You know, in your book. Yeah. With fairies and pixies and unicorns. Now, unicorn is a strong. In this, a unicorn means what? One. What does it actually mean? One horn. Okay, so it's one horn. So, I mean, it might be a rhinoceros. I don't know. Might be a wild ox. You know, but it says my horn, my strength. The word horn means my strength. Shall you exalt like the strength, or like that of a wild beast? So in other words, if you look at that rhinoceros, I'll just pick a rhinoceros because they seem really big and they got that one big horn. I mean, you don't want to get in that guy's way. Huh? I don't want to get in the way of that rhinoceros. And that's where somebody didn't want to get in your way. Because God's going to exalt your strength like the horn of a mighty beast. You are strong. Do you know you're strong? No, I'm kind of weak. No. I don't want to be rude. I don't want to be ugly. I'm not going to say stuff like shut up. You know, but hey, you got to tell what God says about you and quit saying what you feel about you. Amen? Isn't that true? Because I mean, you keep looking in the mirror, you keep checking yourself, you keep seeing how you didn't do one thing or another. Of course you didn't. But God's working in you both to will and to do, to will. And God's will is pretty good. He's got a good willer. It's pretty powerful. He's working in you both to will and to, not only to will it, but to get it done. All of a sudden He changes your mind. Do you know God changes your mind? Yeah, you were thinking one thing and God changed it, made it another thing. God's changing your mind from this world to His kingdom. From the kingdom of this world to the kingdom of His dear Son. He's changing your mind. You are, how many of you are raised here on this planet? Huh? Somebody's thinking Dallas or, you know. No, I was raised in Alaska. No, if you were raised here, you were raised in the world. And you were raised in a place where people learn how to compensate for failure and how to compensate for their inability to do one thing or another. But God created out of heaven you and this world. And so He is in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. His good pleasure comes out of His kingdom. Amen? His good pleasure comes out of His kingdom. You have been translated out of the kingdom of this world. Into the kingdom of His dear Son. Say amen.
Amen.
I'll say it again.
Amen.
I see. That's what you got to do. You got to teach yourself. You got to train yourself to say amen. Say not, well, I hope so. Golly, I hope so. No, it's not golly, I hope so. It's the truth. It's the Word of God. It's the promise. He said, so I have been. I've been picked up, moved, and set over here. Okay. Let's see here. Who do I want to do this to? See here. Will, get up. Come sit over here. You have misbehaved. So I picked you and I moved you from the kingdom of this world into the kingdom of my dear Son.
Amen.
And you were a misbehavior, but I moved you over anyway. We got a good group over here in the kingdom of heaven. Did y'all love this? Would y'all like to move over here? Oh, good. Sit by your wife, brother. No, now I'm sending him back. I'm sending him back. I'm sending him back to minister to you. Amen. Into the kingdom of His dear Son. So, say I'm... Okay. I'm there. I am there. I am in the kingdom of my Father in heaven. I'm living in His kingdom. I'm hearing these things daily. His Word is building me up and strengthening me. Verse 8, I got past that. Okay. It says here, my horn shall be exalted like the horn of a unicorn. I am dangerous. I don't even know what to do with this horn. Oops, excuse me. You know, you're going to bump people over. You know, it's because you are filled with the power of God. You realize that?
Yeah.
Now, come on, I hope you take this home with you. You're filled with the power of God in every circumstance and situation. And first of all, it has to do with ruling over you. So the circumstance doesn't rule me. Trouble doesn't rule me. It comes, but it doesn't rule me. It doesn't grab my mind and shake me around like a rag doll. Isn't that right? Because I'm just glorifying God. Father, look, bam, bam, you know, got three bullets in me. Father, I thank You that Your Word is true. Maybe I died and bled on the ground and didn't make it. Thank God His Word is true. Because my body and my flesh is not what it's about. Amen? I mean, you might die. It's amazing. How many of you plan to die? Everybody better raise your hand. I know you young people just don't even want to think that way. But you know what? How many went and had lunch with your great-grandmother, or your great-great-grandmother, I'll make it easy, your great-great-grandmother last week? How many of you? And why did not you do that? Because she's
dead.
Thank you. Is that true of everybody here? How many of you have a great-great-grandmother still living?
I have a great-aunt.
No. Great-great-grandmother. Don't mess my story up. A great-great-grandmother who's still living. Well, then where is she? She's dead. She's in heaven. Her body is gone. So, I got news for you. Every one of you is going to go there one day. George Washington's there.
Amen.
You know?
Praise God.
Praise God. You know, all kinds of people. Martin Luther's there. He's having a good time. What I'm telling you is, don't be hooked up on this life too much. Sure, go ahead, live the full 70 or 80. Go ahead. You know. But it's going to end. And all that's going to be left of you is Jesus in somebody else. The seed you planted. And maybe a marble thing. A marble monument or something. Yeah, it might be the only other thing. All right? See? But what you left was Jesus. You left Jesus here. You left Jesus with somebody else. Isn't that neat? That's powerful. That's why you're here. Okay, so he says, my strength shall be like the strength of a wild beast. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Woo! I shall be anointed with fresh oil. You know one thing about oil? It brings the body together. Over in Psalm 133 it says, it's like how precious it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the oil that ran down on the robes and the beard of Aaron. It brings the body together. The anointing of God brings the body together. Verse 11, we're going to get through this. My eye also shall see my desire on my enemies, and my ears shall hear my desire upon the wicked that rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree, and he shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. You remember how? Okay, so that the righteous will flourish like these great trees. And of course, as you know, he is the vine, and you are the branches. So where the life comes up and then goes up through the trunk of the tree, through the strength of the tree, and goes out into the branches and bears much fruit. And you're gonna flourish like the palm tree and like the great cedars. The great cedars in Lebanon are the trees that they used to build the temple. They went up to Lebanon, cut those trees, and brought those trees down to build Solomon's temple. Verse 13, those that be planted, listen to all this now, this is good. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. So if you're planted, you will flourish. I'm planted. And you need to remind yourself daily that you're planted, that you have been transferred out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of His dear Son. Reminding yourself daily. Not reminding yourself daily of the trouble that you're acquainted with. Those that be planted in the house of our Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. Amen. They'll bring forth fruit in old age. When most plants would be worn out, we're going to still be bringing forth fruit. Do you know you bring forth fruit in old age? That's a promise. That's a neat promise, isn't it? I mean, you're not going to, even great-grandma's going to keep bringing forth fruit. Amen. They shall be fat and flourishing. Oh, it's even better. To show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock. And there is no unrighteousness in Him. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. And to sing praises to your name, O Most High. To show forth your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. What I want you to come away with is to know that to live in the kingdom of heaven, to not let the affairs of this life overwhelm you, but to thank Him daily when trouble comes. When trouble comes, because it's coming, when trouble comes, you begin to thank Him, and you learn how to thank Him. You learn how to thank your God for His grace and His mercy and the fact that you are a wild beast with a horn of strength that gets rid of everything in the way of the kingdom. Amen? In the way of the promise. Gets rid of everything that's in the sets itself against the promise of God. You remember that scripture says, taking every thought captive to the Word of God, to the obedience of the Word of God. Amen? Taking every thought captive. Oh, there's a thought. You know what? You don't have to live by your thoughts. You live by His thoughts. I live by every word that comes out of His mouth, which is, you're blessed. You are my son. You are my daughter. I'm filling you daily. And I'm causing you to daily rejoice in the midst of every troublesome situation. First of all, so that you are always in victory. I will triumph in the works of your hands. He's done the works. The works are finished. What works are those? Is that I'm in victory. No matter what my circumstance, I'm in victory. Therefore, I'm walking in that. I could choose to walk in the other. I could choose to walk in misery and defeat. I'm not going to do that. And also what He's going to do then is He's going to transform everybody around you. He's going to transform people around you. Maybe some people won't quite be transformed as soon as others. Okay? And that's another tribulation for you. They say, well, they're not hearing. And they live right close to me, right here. And so you just, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you that you're manifesting your work, first of all, in me, and then you're manifesting your work in everybody, in those who are around me. And you know what? The ones who never even make it, the ones who never even will receive it. I'm thanking you that it doesn't, none of these things move me. None of these things move me. Amen? Amen. Father, we rejoice and give you praise right now. I thank you that the Word of God is faithful and powerful in making an impact, transforming us into a wild beast with strength. And Father, as we worship you and close today, I thank you that this Word is transforming every life in this place. And we give you praise because your mercies are new every morning. So when we forget and when we walk in our flesh, Father, we thank you that we are forgiven and we are freed from guilt and condemnation every single day to live in your glory, to live in your presence, to live in your joy, giving thanks and singing praises to your name. Oh, Most High. Thank you for our giving this morning. Thank you for Peggy, Lord, that you're strengthening her and giving her power in her body to be fully restored. We just give you the praise. I pray for everyone in this room who is in need of this joy that we discussed today, that they're hearing your voice, that you're taking your word and knowing that they're filled with your Spirit and that there is nothing that shall by any means hurt them. We pray and thank you for every body that is needed for healing. Father, we thank you for the glory of God being manifest in them, that by the stripes of Jesus we were made whole, that every sickness, you have borne it, and you took our infirmities. And we give you the praise and the thanks for it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.